Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
Hey, hey, hey! It's Fred Albert, and I'm gonna sing a song for you. And Bill's gonna show you a thing or two.
Hey, everybody! Welcome to your favorite Bill Cosby podcast. Ray isn't starting this. I, Robert Clark Chan, am starting this because I did not choose this. We have already done a Bill Cosby cartoon. We do not need to go there anymore, but somebody chose this, and I'm going to ask him right now, why?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Just Because, the Bill Cosby cartoon podcast.
This is a real missed opportunity to start this out with, hey, 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 everybody.
Oh, God, okay, hold on. Dang it.
Okay, you know, we'll stop. We'll stop and restart it. Gina, go ahead. Let's hear it.
Gina, let's intro, please.
Hello, 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 everybody.
What's all this scenario, eh?
Welcome back to Jolly Old England, where we are watching Fat Albert.
And that's why they don't ask me to do a British accent in any of the things I've ever done.
That is fair. That is very fair.
I mean, they're not wrong. Anyway, you know who we are. This is Knowing Is Half the Podcast, and we are in full-on Halloween mode. Last week, we did the Funky Pharaoh. This week, we are doing Gina Suggested, I Picked. So, Chan, you are off the hook this week.
I will the other say two I of gave us you are a lot guilty. Of suggestions.
Yeah, but this was the best one. And to be fair, the Flintstones Halloween one was like 42 minutes long, and I really didn't feel like watching that much.
Oh, that's okay. But much. I sent a whole list. I mean, I was really putting
well,
in the
work. Well, you sent
this time.
A link to a list.
And you were like, pick the rapey one. And I'm like, that's a bad idea.
Ray I'll be honest.
Like, yay.
I'm glad I chose this one. Bill Cosby. I know we've asked this question before. How much of an influence did Bill Cosby have on you pre- You know, stuff.
Huge. That's why I'm really irritated that we have to do this one, because it really sucks. It's not even like he got old and he started to become a dick. I'm like, well, you know, old people go to old.
Pulled
it right out of this goddamn cartoon. But then it turns out, oh, by the way, he's been raping people ever before you were born. So yeah. That's wonderful. And that's really put a big ball stomp on a whole lot of stuff that I used to think was pretty neat.
Yeah.
There's a really great, I've been rewatching The Boys, and there's a really great moment in season 3 with Soldier Boy, who, if you're not familiar with the show, has basically been frozen by the Russians for a really long time. He's a dupe for Captain America or Bucky Barnes. Basically, he's been cryogenically frozen. And when he finally like gets out, he's talking about how the world's really changed. And he's talking about how like some dad looks weird or something on TV, or maybe there's two dads or something. And he's like, that's weird. And he's like, you know who's a great dad? Bill Cosby, America's dad. And and one of the guys like, there's a lot to unpack here. We're not going to get into it.
Let me just say, Bill Cosby is one of the greatest comic influences of my entire life. My dad had
still,
a whole bunch of
Ray stands behind him still.
Let's not get crazy, but I will say I feel bad because my dad had a bunch of like, I think 4 of his albums of his comedy albums. And I used to listen to them on a record player when I was a real little kid, like over and over again. And I feel like a lot of comedic stylings, a lot, you know, he rubbed off on me. Not like that.
Yeah.
Not like that. But Bill Cosby is one of the greatest comedic influences, I think, for a lot of people of our generation. We grew up sort of, he was the guy. Bill Cosby himself was the first stand-up comedy special I ever sat down and watched. And I didn't just watch it. I watched it like 30 times, you know?
That show is that's a motherfucker of a show. It's
one of the best stand-up comedy shows maybe to have ever happened. And it's so upsetting that you're not allowed to like Bill Cosby anymore. Like, you're allowed to appreciate the comedy, I guess, but it is hard to watch it knowing who he is, you know?
Yeah, also, I'm fine with it.
He does a lot of talking about his son, Ennis, who got like murdered on the side of the road here in LA, which also is very uncomfortable to think about as well.
So here we are.
Yeah. Way to bring the room down, Ray.
Just look, watching the old Cosby cartoon.
Ennis Cosby is like,
listen, we didn't need to talk about any of this. We could have just gone right into this special.
We could have just not done this cartoon.
To quote Hannibal Buress,
I didn't hear you protesting.
We need to talk about Bill Cosby.
I didn't hear you protesting, Chan. You could have vetoed it. You saw the same list that Ray did.
Protest until I was because I didn't see it until I was at work. And I didn't get to it until after the damn, until like a few minutes before we did this thing.
Well, so you knew what it was. Ray said, let's do Fat Albert.
Here's Robert Clark Chan over here bragging about having a job again.
Having a job. It's the best. Unless you're doing a podcast with two layabouts. You got nothing better to do than find friggin' 40-year-old cartoons by sexual assaulters.
Listen, I understand he's undergoing some legal troubles. I figured he could use the residuals of our clicks on an illegal YouTube stream.
Yeah, what's there not to like about this? Please. Fat Albert was one of my favorite cartoons when I was a kid, too. I love the Cosby Kids. I love Fat Albert. And I'm watching this now, I'm like, I still like Fat Albert, but most of the Cosby Kids kind of assholes.
Kind of. And look, for the record, I never thought, is it Old World Weird Harold? Who's the one that's like,
Mushmouth.
Mushmouth. I never understood why that was a thing, but I was like, you know what? I'm sure he knew a guy growing up that sounded like that. And maybe there's even like an accent or somewhere, you know, somewhere in the heart of Philadelphia or New York or something like that, where people kind of talk that way for reasons. And now that I'm older and I've experienced the world some, that's a bullshit. No one talks like that. And it's a stupid speech impediment to make up.
I absolutely know dudes from Philly who talk like that.
Oh, snap. There it is. Gina comes down with the truth.
Okay, is Gina doing a bit now? Now she's crossed over into Ray territory, and I can't tell.
No. I mean, like, I know dudes who, like, you will talk to them, and they'll be either like talking like very fast or very low, and you can't hear, like, understand them. I'm sure I'm gonna get shit from someone from Philly being like, "Oh, we don't talk like that." But I 100% believe that he grew up with a dude that talks like that.
They're like, somebody,
my name is Fat Albert, and I talk like this.
If somebody comes at you online and says people in Philly don't talk like that, you just respond with "Obakabi."
I would like to see that spelled out, honestly.
Sounded like OBKB to me.
Yeah, pretty close.
Maybe.
I did enjoy the credit, Bill Cosby as Bill Cosby. Hey, thanks.
They always did that with the Fat Albert.
They did, but I really sort of, there was a part of me.
Bill Cosby was usually in it. You'd see a live action version of him, which I was expecting, and there wasn't one.
I'm guessing like, maybe by this time, because this was 77. So maybe 77. By this time he was like less involved. He was busier. He would just come in and record his audio, but not actually do the live action stuff.
Look, there was a part of me that wanted to see, and playing Bill Cosby, Brad Garrett. There was a part of me that wanted to see it, and I was regretting that I did not see it.
I wish 10-year-old Brad Garrett.
That is correct.
I wish you were voiced by Hulk Hogan.
oh my God.
The reason why he couldn't do Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling was because he was too busy doing Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby still playing Fat Albert, but Hulk Hogan is playing Bill Cosby. Come on. I'm in.
Let's do this.
This show opens with a store. It is a general store. Apparently, it's a bodega, I suppose, because this is New York City. And Fat Albert's wearing a scary mask. And they're all in the store about trying to buy Halloween costumes. But Lady Bakewell is there. And she's the town. What is she the town? The town scary lady? The town.
The town old lady.
The town old lady who doesn't talk to anybody and doesn't involve herself. And
can
for
we,
whatever reason.
You go back this, a beat yes. to where Ray said that this was set in New York City, despite the fact that 2 minutes ago, I specifically said I know people in Philly who talk like this.
Yeah, but I know Bill Cosby grew up in Philly. I thought the show was New York City.
You thought he would set a cartoon based on his childhood, not in the city where he grew up?
Yeah. I thought everything was set in either New York City or Los Angeles at this point in time.
No, this is set in Philadelphia. You would think a super fan like yourself, you just profess to be, would know
that.
Wait, hold on a second there, Gina.
Let me just ask you this question. Am I known for missing details in things that I've watched a lot of?
I think maybe the reason why she thought you were a super fan is because you go as Bill Cosby so often for Halloween. It's a choice that I don't agree with. I feel like blackface is, you know, kind of passe, but you know, you do you, Ray.
Two points here.
This bit is especially good because I actually did dress up as Fat Albert Einstein 1 year.
There you go. You did. That's true. 2 points, Jan. One, you call it Halloween. I just call it Saturday.
Uh-huh.
Two, someday if I do wish to achieve government office, I believe you need old blackface photos in order to win appeal with a certain voting majority.
See, Gina, now why don't you think like that? You keep, you know, undercutting yourself by saying you'll never get into office with all of the horrible things we've said on this podcast. But think about all the horrible people out there who all they want to do is sit back, have a cigarette, storm the Capitol, and hate on brown people.
Have fun storming the Capitol. Has anyone done that bit yet? Billy Crystal should really do that bit for the
I've been doing it in DMs and Facebook chats.
For the record, I don't want to do any of those things, but I would like to court people who are okay with those things.
Yeah.
That's a big voting block.
It's a lot of people.
If you're in the right state, that will get you elected by itself.
And if you're not in the right state, make it the right state.
That's right. Note to self, move to Mississippi. Or North Carolina.
Now we've offended Philadelphians, probably New Yorkers for Ray thinking that this cartoon city looked anything like New York.
Yep. New Yorkians are also mad.
Mississippians.
Mississippians. Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody from Mississippi can come get it. They can't use a map. I know they can't find me.
I'll tell you one thing. Come get it means they can come have sex with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said come get it. Was I mistaken?
No, you're not. I knew this wasn't going to be the case because this is, you know, like a learn a lesson kind of cartoon. But I really wanted Mrs. Bakewell because they show her at the beginning. There's basically like thunder in the background and she's in some sort of horror. She's like in a productionist Sweeney Todd there just like being over on the other side of the grocery store or bodega or whatever, but like I really wanted her to just be an old lady that doesn't give a fuck. She just like is at home and is just chilling with the cats and doing whatever the 70s version of Sudoku was, you know.
You wanted her to be Gina Ippolito.
Yeah. Yes. I don't get off my lawn. You're not getting candy for me. I turn the lights out for a reason. Oh, my house got egged again.
And spoiler, it doesn't happen. She turns out to be like a nice person because obviously,
well, of course she did.
You gotta, you know, like, but like, give it up for the people that are just like, I have put up with so much trash since I was young and I had to, you know, like kiss ass at a retail job. and I had to kiss my boss's ass when I was like working my way up to the fucking steno pool. I finally get to retire and spend my golden years, you know, just doing what I want to do. I don't need to cater to some fucking 13-year-olds who want fucking candy.
I got news for you, man. You have a kid, so you're going to be catering to whatever that kid, and if that kid has kids, whatever those kids want to do. If you wanted to do that when you were old, you should have stayed single.
You know what? When he turns 18, he's out on his ass.
Oh, God. No one believes that, Robert. No single person in the world believes that, Robert Clark Chan. We all listen. Egon will be living at home. He's going to probably go off to college, but after college, everybody just moves back home again. So don't get too used to it. Egon is going to be staying with you for a certain period of time as an adult. I think every single person of our age who has children just needs to accept it.
First of all,
you think you're going to be free? You will not. And no part of you is actually going to kick him out. I know you too much better than that. You would cry at the end of Wreck-It Ralph.
That's true. You are going to be sobbing every time he goes off to college. But also, I did not move back home. I went to college and then I moved to L.A. and have not moved back home. So,
well, to be fair, you didn't really have the option because your parents didn't live out here.
No, but I'm saying there are a lot of people who do not move back home, who move elsewhere.
You all are missing the point. It doesn't matter if he stays here or not. I am taking back my own life once he turns 18. You are no longer my responsibility.
Wait a minute.
Around the house, balls hanging out. Chad, I am going to go do comedy. I'm going to get on a damn house team when I'm 60.
Listen, we just got called out on Twitter for not at all talking about the episode that we were doing last week and just talking about bullshit. And now we're doing it again. People are going to start unsubscribing.
Of course we are.
I don't know how podcasts work.
What I just heard is that Robert Clark Chan and me, and maybe TV's Gina Ippolito, are going to start a house team when we're in our 60s called Empty Nest.
Yeah, I'm and in.
Yeah, honestly, I'm in too.
I mean, listen, when we're in our 60s is around the time that you're going to be telling your just graduated from college kids who say that they want a job in the arts, you know who you should hit up? Gina. And I am going to burn your houses to the ground.
Why would we hit up Gina? She didn't get to work on that G.I. Joe show like everybody wanted. I just assume is the next statement.
Yeah.
Just to be fair. Now this store, because Lady Bakewell has all the attention.
Is that her
the
name?
Guy
Lady Bakewell?
Lady Bakewell.
Yeah, 100%.
How could they not know that she would be a delight with a name like that?
She bakes well.
Yeah, that's like really tipping your hat there.
Well, why did they not think that? It's because of a sound poll I would like to hear right now. Accurate, what they say.
That's the trouble. All old people are weird.
That's all I need.
Yeah, all old people are weird. He's right. But he doesn't understand why we're so weird.
It's accurate.
You know who's not weird? People who died before us.
We are a podcast. So this is audio only.
We are
so
art.
You don't get to see video. However, I encourage you all. This is right around about the 140, 150 mark of this cartoon. Go watch this kid get handed a ladder.
Okay. Okay.
Who's the guy with the floppy hat? Is that Rudy?
I can't keep. There's too many characters.
There's too many Cosby kids. Yeah. Agreed.
You're treading on thin ice here.
Weird Harold. Is that Weird Harold?
I literally wrote them down as their costumes. I wrote cowboy, giant, robot, clown, ghost.
Right. That's fair. He hands this kid this ladder. Kid climbs up it. The look on his face as he's watching his ass wiggle all the way up there. There is guaranteed, just running the numbers, there is one closeted gay kid in this group.
Oh, and guaranteed.
That is absolutely him. This is 1977. There's no way we could have talked about it, but unquestionably, that guy grew up, and I hope he's happy. I hope he is able to find a community and live how he wants to live.
You know, when he got to his 50s, it finally became like accepted, and he finally found peace. And I believe that.
I heard they're all still friends with Bill Cosby. I heard so. He probably goes to his. Where is he? Is Bill Cosby in jail or did he get out?
He's out now.
He's going on friggin' tour.
Oh, that's right. How did he get out?
He served a lot of time.
He's old. What did he serve? Like 8 months or something?
No, he served more than that, I think. I'm going to look it up right now.
Oh, I think Bill Cosby. They gave him like time served, but I do think that they probably said something like, well, he's an old sick man.
Okay. Bill Cosby served 3 years. And then his sentence got overturned, and regrettably, it got overturned correctly because he was in a non-prosecution agreement when he gave up the goods on all his crimes, and then they prosecuted him for his testimony anyway, which it sucks because he is a terrible criminal, but they should not have done that. They were correct to release him. At least he served 3 years late in life, and he is now he's in his 80s. So, I mean, you know, there was some justice here. Most people who did what he did do not get at least 3 years in prison.
That's fair.
And it sucks because they were absolutely correct to overturn his verdict. Which
you heard it here first. Ray loves rapists.
I do not.
They shouldn't spend a day in jail is what he just said.
I don't hate rapists as much as I hate the police.
And the why police do you hate the police? Sting is so great.
No. Let me tell you. No.
I mean,
the thing is, if the police come to you and you sign an agreement that says if you admit all of your crimes, you cannot be prosecuted for it. So you go ahead and just tell them everything you did, and they turn around and go, actually, we're going to use all this against you. That is bullshit.
So the one time the cops follow the rules,
right?
You're going to back them up, huh?
Right. And no, it sucks, but like, F the police. Chan, I think I can get you on board with this sentiment.
I keep trying to stir up a riot at my work with my ACAB coffee mug, and they're not having it. I just got to keep working harder. I don't understand it.
Look, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of the Popo, but unfortunately, they screwed up here, and a horrible monster went free, but at least served 3 years. That is something.
We go on. I do want to hear everybody's takes on the Israel-Palestine conflict.
Absolutely. I got hot takes here. Some
good comedy out of that.
Yeah. No. I got some jokes. I actually got a tight five about beheaded children.
Oh, so, nice. Yeah.
Gina, I'll let you go first, though.
What do I do?
just be you, Gina. Just be you. Are we going to talk about this cartoon so I can stop?
Yeah, listen, this shop owner should absolutely not. I mean, he kicks these kids out pretty quickly.
Yeah, why does he do that?
He should know.
Busting shit up.
The second they go in there and they're wrecking his ladder and they're doing everything, he should know. Like, I mean, does he tell them something like, don't touch anything, don't do anything? But this can't be the first time they've gone in and broken his ladder.
I mean, they come in and they're like, hey, we got $1.78. So like, treat us like kings. He's like, dude, I'm fucking busy over here.
You know what? I forgot about that. They literally told him how much money they were planning to spend, and it was literally nothing. So
listen, 1979, Philadelphia, if a kid came in with that money, I'd be like, hey, now that's pretty good. You get two candy bars for that. Three candy bars, maybe four.
And how much was that ladder that they fucking destroyed?
saying he should have kept a better eye on them because he knows them. They're all in the same neighborhood.
So here's the deal. In 1977, $1.78 is worth
$1.85.
It is worth $9.04 today. So
listen, if you have a bodega and a kid comes in with $9, I would be like, yeah, hell yeah.
It feels a lot better. It turns out inflation in 2023, a thing we've been talking about, is 3.7%. In 1977, inflation was 6.5%. So maybe Joe Biden's doing okay, asshole.
Well, you just lost us the remainder of our
listeners. Organically. That just came out organically. Excuse me. So, you know, $9. I give them credit. I give them more credit than I did the first time.
Yeah.
That being said, they broke a ladder, and that ladder was worth more than $1.78.
That was a $60 ladder, I tell you what.
Yeah. Not in 1977. That's true.
That was a $5 ladder, but still. they decide, we're not going to be able to buy our costumes like they were going to buy their costumes for $1.78. What are we even talking about? He was right to throw them out. They are making their own homemade costumes. And what kills me about it is a thing I had forgotten about the Cosby kids is essentially they put one kid on blast and then everybody just roasts them. And hell then it yeah. just rotates. And then the next kid gets put on blast.
Have you ever
and
met everybody, kids?
Like we're at the goddamn Friars Club.
Have you ever met kids, Ray?
Yeah, they all just pick on one kid all the time forever.
Hell no.
They don't rotate who they pick on.
You pick on one kid who's like not in your friend group. But once you're in your friend group, listen, this is like the same thing we do.
This is exactly what we do.
Yeah, that once you're in a friend group, you got to rotate the roasting.
Wait a minute. Hold on. My friend group of nerds back in like middle school where we were all playing Dungeons and Dragons, we did not rotate the roasting. You just pick one person and you beat the shit out of them. Everybody knows
your,
that.
Your friend group? Listen, I'm going verbally, to a Friday the 13th party tomorrow night at my buddy's place that I usually play board games with. And it is a regular rotation of roastings.
Interesting.
I think you might have been the dork, Ray, is the lesson. Sure.
Yeah,
let me tell you right now.
A dork group, that's,
I was not the lone dork of my group. I will say that with certainty.
If you don't know about the rotating roasting,
you were the roastie.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe I was the bully.
No, you're giving yourself too much credit.
Maybe I was the hated bully. The world's
smallest gang. You know what? I like that line.
Wait, play it again.
We're talking about costumes, and you know, like you know, to their credit, like these are people that don't have a lot of money, and so rather than be, you know, like, oh man, I wish we could have this or that, like they make their own shit, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
This one, the short kid,
the world's smallest giant.
That feels.
I like that. I like that.
Something that you would see at a comedy party in Los Angeles. Yeah. You know?
No, I want to say right now, I thought that for like just making it up as you go along and doing your best with what you got with no money, everyone's costumes were solid.
Agreed.
I did not understand why they were like shitting on each other's costumes. Like everybody did a good job.
Again, how have you never had friends? I don't understand what's happening right now.
Maybe we were too kind to each other. Maybe we didn't bully each other, TV's Gina Ippolito.
Maybe you just didn't have the wit and verve that my friends did because, you know, like this here, this is some pretty low grade stuff. You're like, you're short. You're fat.
Yeah.
But, you know,
that's what friends do.
You hone your craft, you get better at making insults, and then eventually, God willing, you could have a podcast about cartoons when you get old.
Oh, my God.
I will say like this giant outfit, as soon as he said it, I was like, shit, that is what that costume is. He nailed it.
He nailed it. He did. Yeah. Yeah. But the fact
the clown
that
clown yes. Can go to hell. Is no, it? And there's the dude who wears the sack on his head. So I guess he's Leatherface.
No, is that what's happening? He's a ghost.
Is he a ghost?
He's because he's wearing like white sheets, but then a sack on his face because I think he he didn't want to look like something else. Maybe?
He is Leatherface. I'm pretty sure that's what you mean to say.
I think he's just doing his best, Chan, and I think you should respect him. The fact that
new theory, and it is that Ray was getting roasted, but he was too stupid to realize it, so he took everything his friend said as genuine compliments.
Honestly, that sounds like a good way to live.
Nice hat, you dork.
Oh, thank you very much. It was a nice hat. I'm happy about it. Yeah, thank you. It's all tracks.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Introducing a new good night friend, Glow Butterfly.
Your child's good night friend.
And here's cute little Glow Bug.
Squeeze him tight when it's night. Watch his face light up bright. Your child's good night friend.
And pretty Glow Baby.
Glow Baby's tired, Mommy.
Good night, Glow Baby. Good night, Susie.
They're all machine washable. Batteries not included and each sold separately. Who has these good night friends? Hasbro has.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
The plan for the evening, because they don't have a lot of money, and apparently there's no real trick-or-treating. I'm confused over some of this, because they all have sacks of candy later on, but we do not...
1977 kids cartoon.
We do not see them trick-or-treating, but towards the end, they all have sacks of candy that get stolen. We'll talk about that. But their plan is to go around the neighborhood and scare all the old dudes that they can find. What?
Just old people in general.
Why? Because why would they do that? You could just trick or treat and go home and eat candy.
Trick or treat. They're both trick or treating and getting candy, but they also want to play tricks on people. How are they explaining a bajillion year old holiday to you, Ray?
Nobody does tricks anymore.
Ray's trying to pretend like they don't have Devil's Night in Detroit.
Call it Mischief Night. I understand they call it different things regionally. I think someplace they call it Mischief Night, someplace they call it Devil's Night, and then there's a third one.
Listen, in the city of Detroit, back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, it was called Devil's Night, and the night before Halloween, there was a lot of arson. People for fun used to set buildings on fire, and it happened a lot the night before Halloween. And so Mayor Dennis Archer in the 90s came in and said, what the F are we doing? And he rebranded it as Angels Night, a night to go out and protect your community from arsonist assholes. And the arson, like over a 2-year span, it stopped happening and doesn't happen anymore.
Wow.
Because what the fuck? Why would you burn your own city to the ground for fun once a year?
I hate literally everything about that story that you just told.
Dennis Archer, man. Great mayor. Best mayor of Detroit history. Got tasked to join Bill Clinton's cabinet. He was so good. And they replaced him with somebody who literally ended up in federal prison. Great job, everybody.
Quality work.
Good.
Everyone on Twitter, can you please make fun of Ray for not understanding how this cartoon works?
They're all in agreement with me. I'm going to tell you right now. Because they go to the graveyard. Their plan is, let's just go to the graveyard and hang out.
No, they're going to meet a friend. Also, totally something people do in small towns when it's like a spooky night.
Who does that? That's a very small town thing to do.
They literally don't have anything to do. They don't have any money, so they can't, you know, or
wait.
I guess they do go to the movies.
They go to the movies later. Yeah.
It's apparently in so that they can prank Searchlight Johnson.
So I don't weird. I do I not think that. It's weird to go to a cemetery. Friends of mine in high school would go and hang out in a cemetery. It's like a cool, spooky place.
Yeah, that's normal.
It's like literally in the pilot of fucking The Vampire Diaries. She's just a normal kid that goes and hangs out at the...
Guys.
Write in her journal.
Normal kids don't go hang out at the cemetery. I'm sorry. That's the weird kids who go do that.
Who doesn't understand tricks on Halloween.
No, Halloween, you dress in a costume, you go and you do trick-or-treating, you get candy, and then you go home. Things. You don't go fuck with old people.
That is not true.
Who are you people?
No, that is not true. The rule is you either get a treat or you play a trick. If someone's house is dark or if someone doesn't give you good candy, you play a trick on them.
No one actually does that, though.
You live a very sheltered life, Ray, and I am not here for it.
What are you talking about? What is happening? No, so you're telling me Gina Ippolito, TV's Gina Ippolito, you as a 12-year-old would dress in a costume, you'd go around and do trick-or-treating, and every time you saw a house with its lights out who was not participating, you would just fucking break a window. That's what you're telling me right now? No, you didn't.
I don't understand what pranks are. There's a difference between breaking a window. You set the house on fire
by throwing a bottle of cocktail in the window.
And
everybody knows that.
Someone's fence, for instance.
You didn't actually do that on Halloween, though.
I'm pleading the fifth.
Oh, stop. So you're literally going around with a bag for candy, a full costume, and a 12-pack of Charmin on your back? Like, what are we talking about right now? No, you didn't.
You never woke up in your town to, like, trees teepeed the day after Halloween?
The day before Halloween is Devil's Night. That's when you do the mischief. Halloween itself is for candy.
Chan, can you explain the trick or treat? It's supposed to be give us a treat or we play a trick.
Here's the thing. I understand that heathens and barbarians do this sort of thing. I assume that the people of Detroit and the people of Butt-Munched New Jersey went around pranking folks. I did not do such a thing because I was a good child. I got good grades in school. I always wanted the teacher to like me. So I never pranked anybody. I was dragged along to do some TPing.
Even Chan did it.
Might have engaged a little bit, but it was not my thing. I don't feel comfortable doing that.
No, I'm going to tell you right now. I was a weird kid in the neighborhood because also I went to a different like school away from the local school after a few years of going there. I was definitely a weird kid as a young kid. I'm not going to pretend I wasn't. So our house got pranked on Devil's Night a few times, including like one minorly broken window. I still don't know exactly what was up with that, but something happened. I don't know exactly. It was a second story window too. So hell of an arm. And I remember one time I was in high school and I was just sick of worrying about it. So I just got a folding chair and I sort of sat in like on like the front lawn with a golf club and I was just waiting. And I remember a car pulls up with some neighborhood kids and I walk up to the car and the kids from the car were just like, "Hey, Ray, what's going on?" I go, "Hey, man, just hanging out." And they go, you're out tonight, huh?" And I'm like, "Yeah."
You are 100 years old.
Yeah, and they just said, "All right, man, we'll have a good day," and they drove away. Guess what? They did not want their car smashed by a golf club that night, so they decided not to fuck with my house.
I'm tired.
Gina, you pretend like you toilet papered people's houses on Halloween, and you're telling me the actual real thing of Devil's Night isn't real. No. I question
No, first
saying.
Of all, I specifically said, yes, we had it in New Jersey. It's called Mischief Night. I specifically said that. But shit happened on Halloween, too, especially if you were like either giving out crappy candy or were a dork or had your lights off and didn't do things. That's when people would like smash a pumpkin outside
Jesus
your house.
Christ. Had your lights off, you didn't do things. This feels a little too Cosby for me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, God willing, adults went to a Halloween party that night and didn't give out treats. Gina is throwing a Molotov cocktail through your goddamn window.
No, that's when you still leave your lights on and you leave candy on your porch with a take one sign.
No one just left a bowl of candy before the pandemic. What are you talking about?
What?
That's not a thing that ever happened anywhere.
Like you're being purposely obtuse and I can't engage in this anymore because I'm exhausted.
I'm just going to say that there is nowhere where real human beings live where you can turn on the light and put a big bowl of candy out in front and not have it be gone in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
That's Gina not shows true. Up at 8 o'clock. If kids are walking around with their parents, you think parents are going to steal a shit ton of candy from their neighbors who they know?
Spoiler alert, parents suck too.
I mean, I knew everyone on my street growing up, so.
Gina shows up at 8:04 to the empty bowl and she's like, well, gotta fucking burn this motherfucker to the ground.
Gina's got a Ring camera in 1982.
Yeah, like, what is happening? Broadcast. I don't believe any of this story whatsoever.
Well, I mean, it's well, people, I mean, people on Twitter will weigh in, obviously. So
obviously, well, we don't go on Twitter anymore, Gina. That's where the Nazis live.
I'm on Twitter right now. I tweeted a lovely thing about Midnight Mass and it made it back to the showrunner. So I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know why what type of tweets you've been looking at, but my feed is all writers and actors.
My feed is all writers and actors, and then underneath there are a million replies from blue check marks that are all fascists.
That's why I've already blocked every blue check mark that comes across my feed. I
have a literal extension for Google that blocks every blue check mark on Twitter, and it does not matter. There are always more of them.
Well, I'm doing something right and you're doing something wrong, which is indicative of our lives, I'd say.
Nazis. I think that a froggy in water, you don't even notice that it's on fire. Like that house you burned down in 1997.
Only in your shitty city did people consider burning houses down to be a prank.
Well, these were dangerously violent and desperate people, Gina. It took a concerted effort to stop them from doing it because it was terrible. Anyway, they're at the graveyard. I don't get it. Gina thinks it's normal. Let's move on. I did like the bit where they're all pretending not to be scared, except for that one kid who's like, I am. And they went back to this bit over and over again, and it made me so happy every single time.
Yeah, this kid is the most secure with himself. He's like, I don't need to be cool.
He's my favorite. Easily my favorite. Outside of Fat Albert, who's constantly spending this whole episode going, hey, hey, don't think that's a good idea.
Pretty sure you're not allowed to do that impression.
What are you talking about? That's a character impression. I didn't rub shoe polish on before doing it.
Can't be the tiebreaker here.
I feel like it's honestly creepier when you do it, Gina.
Fair point.
Roll back the tape. Roll back the tape because
what, my British one?
It was creepier.
Gina, you absolutely did a Fat Albert earlier, and I was honestly, I was like, oh God, I don't know what to do with these feelings.
So a witch jumps out and everybody gets very, very scared. It turns out this is a trick, and their friend Devery, who's a complete piece of shit, jumps out as a witch and is revealed that Devery and the clown kid, I don't remember his name, they have a plan for everyone for the evening. They're going to go around the neighborhood finding all of the old people and try to scare them. But they have a special plan for old lady Bakewell, who lives next to the cemetery.
This kid loves showing off his midriff.
He does. He's wearing a shirt that is too small. Honestly, there were some really good moments and character moments based on how poor they were. And I just want to take a moment and appreciate that, like, poverty is not considered regular in a lot of properties. And here it was just like another character on the show.
I just want to take a moment to acknowledge that there was a time when half shirts for gentlemen was very much a thing. I was at the tail end of that because in the second grade, I would wear half shirts and I would have to suck in my gut because I was trying to be cool. And that's why I gave it up eventually because, you know what? This midriff here is not meant for public consumption.
You can still see it in movies of that era. The half shirt, but yeah, usually it's fit dudes that do.
Yeah, to be fair, I didn't consider it a thing from the 70s. I remember it as being an 80s thing.
Yeah,
for men and women, for the record, it was very popular for both.
It was a holdover from the 70s. Like if you watch, because there are definitely dudes doing it in Dazed and Confused, which is a 90s movie set in the 70s.
Fair enough. I just watched Friday the 13th Part 2, and there was a young lady doing that exact look for the entire movie until, you know, murder happened.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And it was interesting. So, yeah, they're going to go get all the olds. I do want to take special moment to talk about the walk animation for the crew. Everybody has a strut, and it's a looped strut, and they all walk together, and I love it. I love how much character this brings to everybody.
Yeah, I appreciate that they took the time. Listen, I'm not going to lie. I thought that this whole cartoon was, like, pretty good. I mean, we've watched some really bad cartoons, especially of this era.
Yeah.
But, like, there wasn't anything particularly, like, badly written or badly acted or even badly drawn. And, like, I hate to say it, but I think this is because everything that, like, Bill Cosby did, like, he wanted to be involved. He wanted it to say something. He wanted it to sort of, like, better the world, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He gave a shit. Yeah.
You know, like, and I think, and even like the sort of like lesson that we learn here is definitely not as ham-fisted as most of the other lesson shows we've watched, where they're like, I think we've really learned a lesson here today, blah, 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 blah. Like, this is literally just like kids being like, hey, yeah, like old people are all right. It's not you know, like shoved in your face. I thought this was pretty well done, to be honest.
Now that we know Bill Cosby politically is the guy who was on social media telling those people to pull their pants up, maybe the message old people actually are cool doesn't ring as awesome as maybe I should have considered it to ring.
No, but yeah. I get that he's a piece of shit. But he was always about, you know, like giving back to your community. Like even the old woman that we meet at the end, you know, like she wants these kids to come over, and then them saying, yes, we're going to come back and like mow your lawn. Like that was very much what he used to be all about. Like he would be like, hey, like give back, like help your community, like give back to the community, you know, maybe roofie a woman before you mentor her.
Yeah, the problem was that, like, when he says I'm going to come back to mow your lawn, he means to have sex with her.
Which oh boy,
not good because they're all underage.
Before we get there, they go to see a movie, even though they're all flat broke. So there must be some sort of like matinee. I think they talk about we got to get to the movie before the prices change over.
Yeah, which I again, bet it was like penny movies. Like they had penny movies and stuff like that back then.
Like poverty is a character on here, and I liked it because it was just a thing that was. They weren't necessarily trying to make a statement. They were just presenting it as it is. And that was an aspect of the show I kind of noticed and liked a lot. The movie they go to see on Halloween, Space Squids That Ate Pittsburgh. Uh-huh. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Solid.
Except for the fact that Devery and the kid dressed as a clown. I'm just going to call him Clown. Clown and Devery are up in the balcony, and their big prank to try to get the usher from the movie theater, who I guess also owns the movie theater. I don't know, but he's
Searchlight
there.
Searchlight
Johnson.
The man.
Great name
has
for
a
video
name.
Game character. Great name for a video game character. He does have a name. He does. And that name is great. Pardon me, Searchlight Johnson, for your disrespect. I was not familiar with your game. Okay, so they take a mop head off of a mop and then drop it on his head from the balcony, I guess because he's going to think for a millisecond that it's a space squid? Is that what we're doing?
I thought originally it was a joke, like a toupee joke, but then it starts bouncing around on the other kids and they all get freaked out because, you know, obviously they do think it is a space squid. So I'm not really sure what the intent was.
It's not a good prank.
Like, let's get, no, there is no good prank. Honestly,
there's no, like their pranks suck. Not well
thought
out.
It's supposed to be a squid. It's supposed to be a squid.
All right. But he's a goddamn adult and he knows better.
I don't know. Maybe just watch the goddamn movie you paid for. Maybe just have a good time at the theater and don't be a piece of shit. Pull your pants up, Devery.
These are ostensibly shitty kids, and I'm willing to give them a little room to do that.
Well, what I didn't understand is they all get kicked out.
Yeah, of course, wouldn't you?
I would kick out the kids on the balcony, but what are the other kids that just, you just threw a mop head at them and they freaked out? Like, that's not beyond the pale.
No, they know, again, it's like places like this that are small, everyone knows everyone. He knows those kids hang out together.
Okay.
And they all come in as a group. Of course they're all in on it.
It's fair enough. This is Do the Right Thing all over again.
I feel like you've seen two things with black people and you're equating them.
And the other one's like, wait a minute, where's the Chinese guy? This is Shanghai Noon, right?
You say the other one is Shanghai Noon. I'll be honest, I respect you for that. Let's go talk about old Mudfoot. Old Mudfoot, they say, why are we gonna go mess with him? And they say, because he got old.
Also, let's don't not forget Devry's sister.
I love her.
She shows up and she's like, I'm going to narc on you, which seems perfectly normal. But she doesn't. And it's not entirely clear to me why, other than the needs of the plot.
Oh, I thought she was just saying, like, you better get home soon, because if you're not there and, like, our parents notice, you're going to be in huge trouble. I don't think saying, I'm going to narc on you.
No, she says he's grounded.
Devry is grounded, so he's not supposed to be out of the house at all.
Yeah, but she doesn't tell the parents. I think she's just saying, like, if they realize you're,
and
like,
I don't know, because the dad shows up. I wonder if she didn't let him know.
I think because it was so late, Devry brought it on himself.
Oh, he's an asshole.
He pushed it and he got caught as he should have. And honestly, yeah, she pretty great, because she doesn't narc him out.
Yeah.
She just lets him hang himself, which is what you do.
It's fine.
Yeah, I love her. I love that. I love that she's the one that's not afraid. That's genuinely not afraid, not just pretending to not be afraid.
Fair.
She's cool.
Did y'all notice when they go to old Mudfoot's house, which is a tiny house, that his front door is a fridge door?
Isn't it a trailer?
It just seems like a tiny, tiny house to me that uses a literal fridge door as the front door, because there is food in it when they open it.
Yeah, it is strange.
I'm assuming he's supposed to be like a thing that he, like a little shack that he sort of built himself.
That's what I think. I think it is. I think he's homeless, and I think he did his best to build on this public land, and they're all just letting him live there, which is how we should be in the year 2023.
Kids are pranking a homeless dude.
Not great. He's like, you know, they all know him. They all know him. They're not making fun of him. They're treating him like they're pranking any other adults. Getting one over on them, so
he really did, because end up not pranking him. He eats all of their goddamn candy.
Okay, let's talk about that. What the fuck?
This is a good bit.
Okay,
he's just he's like talking to them and distracting them. It's like the old bit that, like, you know, when you're little and your dad's like, you know, let me test your candy, and he's doing it as a bit, like to make you laugh, and then you're like, no, I can't eat. He's like, I just need to test it to make sure it's good, and he like keeps eating it, and you're like, no, but it's like really funny, and you're all laughing.
And then it's gone. That sounds like a painful memory for you, Gina.
Yeah, maybe it'd have been easier just to set a building on fire.
Yeah.
No, but I love that he's doing this thing where he's talking to them. And they're like sort of listening, but they're also sort of like, oh, we need to prank this dude. And he's like, oh, yeah. And they're like holding their sacks out, and he takes their candy and he's just like, yeah, you know, back in my day, candy. And then he just starts eating their candy, and then they leave and they're like, wait, what just happened?
Yo, this dude. Okay. So Clown and Devery jump out and be like, bah. And he's like putting his shirt on, but struggling.
Yeah.
So his shirt is sort of like, he has no head. He's flailing around. They get immediately freaked out and run away. He gets his shirt on. The rest of the kids are at the front door saying, hey, man, trick or treat. And in Gina's world, they would burn his house to the ground because he does not give them candy.
Literally never said that.
In the world of in the world of the Cosby Kids, he's just talking with them and just having a conversation. And as he's doing it, he is literally stealing their bags, shoving all the candy in his pocket while eating it. By the time he gets to the fourth child, I'm like, at this point, what are you kids doing? You can see what he is doing. Walk away.
No, this is, he's like lulling them. Like he's doing that thing, you know, like when you're, you know, when you're in New York or when you're in Philly or any one of these cities and there are like guys on the streets playing like three card Monty or something like that. They constantly talk because you're just like kind of, because in society we're like, well, this person is talking. I need to listen to what they're saying. But it's all like working to sort of distract you. He's just like telling them a story and constantly talking to them. And they're like just listening to him and not paying attention to what his hands are doing.
Gina, I've been on too many dates to think that that actually works.
Well, you have not learned from the right people, I guess.
Damn it, misery.
The first time around that I watched this, I was like,
mystery, fuck.
What the hell? This motherfucker deserves to get pranked because he's like, he's scamming the kids' candy. He's basically, you know, like an adult who's stealing from the kids. That's some bullshit. And then I, now that I've had a little while to think about it, I'm like, wait a minute. They're coming to, again, fuck up a homeless dude. And he turns it on him. Yeah, he pulls like the Cobra thing where he's like, let me tell you a story. And eats all their damn candy, sends them away happy. And then
he's like,
holy shit, our candy's gone. What the hell happened?
Yeah. Right in front of him, he steals bag after bag of candy. And as they're walking away, Fat Albert's like, man, that guy's pretty cool, huh? No, he's not. He stole all your shit. Like, what is wrong with you?
I love it.
That's karma. Those kids were pieces of garbage.
Yeah, I love this guy. Right.
It's also starting to get very late, and Devery calls his sister Diesel Mouth, which it made me laugh. I don't even understand this insult, but I'm here for it.
He explained it. I don't understand it.
Bullshit.
When he said it, I didn't understand it. Obviously, he explains it.
It's like, ugh. That was the only part that I did not care for at all. I'm like,
I laughed out loud.
You call her Diesel Mouth and you leave it at that. You don't be like, because it's like gasoline. You know, let me explain internal combustion engines to you.
She asks him to explain.
Bollocks.
Yeah, it was funny. So anyway, Devery's like, no. We're not all done for the night. We're not all going home. We got the main event. We are going to Old Lady Bakewell's house and we're going to fuck her up. And they say, Fat Albert is genius. He's just like, you know what? You've been talking a big game. You've not been pulling anything off. Show us you could do this on your own, Devery. And he's just like, all right, I'm going to do something on my own. Hey, sister. you win if you just go trick-or-treat at the Bakewell's house. Like, what a way to turn it. And she's like, I ain't afraid. I'm doing it. And then Russell, the smallest giant, hand in hand goes with him.
Yep.
It was awesome. Good on him, dude. They go up to the house. They trick or treat it. They go inside the house. Parents always told me never to do that. I mean, I'll never forget right now. The first time I ever went trick or treating with my sister and a couple other kids by ourselves, no parents watching us. I was in charge now. My parents said, you make sure you do not go in anybody's house. That was the rule. I said, great. We get to like the third house on the block and they say, would you mind coming in for your candy? I said, of course we will come in for our candy. And you know what? Good bit. We come into their house, a little living room there in the front room. And there was a guy dressed as Phantom of the Opera at a grand piano right there in the front room. And it's like, cool. So like, come on over. We walk through the room past the piano. And we get our candy, and as we're walking out, right when we got to the front door, he nails a super loud chord. Boom! And we all jumped. And you know what? Worth it. It was worth the molestation that followed.
Yeah.
Great bit.
Good times. Good times.
I'm honestly like, great job, that guy. I'm in fact. Anyway, it's been 15 minutes and they haven't come out yet. That's concerning.
Yeah,
that I mean, is
if you're in a Cosby-run property,
mm-hmm.
and your little sister hasn't been seen in 15 minutes.
It's a bad sign.
She's becoming his new mentee in the worst way possible.
Edibles out. Yeah.
Yeah, you know how much money it costs for me to make these edible weed candies that look like real candies and actual candy packaging? But it's worth it because I never see the result. What is wrong with white people that that's a thing that they still pretend happens?
I think it's a very small, I mean, it's just like the people who used to like get music, who used to be like, oh, video games and music are, it's the think of the children people. It is not something my parents would be like, ugh, this is, it's like satanic panic. It's a version of satanic panic.
Oh, when I was a kid, we used to take our candy bags to McDonald's, where the local police would run metal detectors over it because of the bullshit scares of the 1980s. And it was dumb. I think it, I'm like, how fucking stupid are we?
But also, that's on your parents for doing that.
You know, that was commonly accepted bullshit.
No.
Like that there was a thing set up at the McDonald's for the police to scan your bags, they didn't do that because no one showed up to it. They did it because everyone needed a place to show up to.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's the same thing as the satanic panic, saying that it's like, oh, a majority of people believe this thing is absolutely not true.
Police
frequently cause a panic, and it has nothing to do with how many people believe it.
But nowadays we see those posts and like everybody is like, oh, you're fucking stupid. I'm sorry. I mistook you for a smart person. Like, but back then that was the accepted belief. And that's the part that really gets me. Like,
again, it was not the accepted belief. You are a very small sample size of.
We were not the only ones at that McDonald's. Let me just tell you right now.
And your also, you could use the only neighborhood in America.
To be fair, when you got those free fries, you could use them right there too. You get those coupon books, just rip one out right away. It's a good day. Is that still a thing that happens? Anyway, they do a bit where they try to launch one of the kids into the window in a spot where seemingly there was no window, because they launch him so high he ends up on the third floor of the house somehow and is hanging from the gutter. And I'm wondering what I'm doing with my life watching the show.
You picked it.
I like it.
I genuinely, generally enjoyed this. To be honest, now they decide, let's rush the door. And this is correct. If two children go inside someone's house for trick-or-treating and it's been 15 minutes and they're still not out yet, and this person is generally a stranger to you, you plan to rush the door because they're being murdered. And as they run towards the door, of course, opens at the last second and they tumble inside. And what happens? She's nice and is giving them snacks and drinks and treats.
And they look good, too.
They looked really good.
Yeah. And she's got some for all of them.
Yeah. Dude, she bought that shit at the store.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, dude's going to be like, $1.78? Fuck off. This woman's like buying cakes and soda and candy. And
I'd go to her house. And you know that she like, because she says, doesn't she say something like, ever since my husband died, the kids don't really come here anymore. And you know it's because she's got like, you know, she's not mowing that lawn herself. It looks overgrown. It looks scary. So she was probably waiting for kids all night long.
She's definitely mowing the lawn herself. I mean, she's got a rabbit and she's just going to town. She doesn't have a husband anymore. What else is she going
to
do?
Oh my God. She lives next to the cemetery. I mean, she is that weird lady.
I really did want her to be like some weird gothy chick, and you know, like you go in and there's like some crazy ass cake, you know, that's like, oh my God, fruitcake. I don't know, but then it tastes delicious. You're like, oh my God, you're fucking crazy and weird, but also you're cool.
But I don't think goth started in 70. I think goth started in the 80s though, didn't it?
I just mean like, I mean like freaking the Addams Family existed.
Oh, you're right.
Like, see,
okay,
I know,
okay.
I knew. I mean, I would have loved if this had ended with like the kids leaving, and then she just like takes out a knife, and she's got another kid locked up in her basement.
Oh, Jesus! Him.
Like if this was like a Tales from the Crypt cartoon, that's what it would be. She'd be. But I knew, knowing Bill Cosby, knowing this type of neighborhood, I knew she was going to be like the neighborhood grandma that the kids go to and get juice and like chill, and she's just like happy to have the company, and her attitude is like, I'm keeping the kids out of trouble so they can come here whenever they want. I enjoy that she was this trope.
Did Gina just say she knows this neighborhood of inner city Philadelphia when she herself grew up in bougie Booton Township, New Jersey?
Yeah, because every weekend I spent going into New Jersey, into New York or Philadelphia to play chess in inner cities. So yes, I guarantee you I know it better than you did.
I don't believe you for a goddamn second. Okay. I don't believe that child Gina Ippolito was just hanging out on corners in the hood of New York City.
Oh, that
I believe
is what you
were going
took away
to a hotel
from me saying,
and then leaving the hotel.
That's what you took away from. First of all, why would drive into a city that's only an hour away and stay at a hotel?
Both of you, hush up. I need you to look at a picture, and I need somebody to remember to post this so that all of our listeners can see a picture of Bill Cosby in drag to roofie some kids.
Yeah, you're right.
If you showed me this out of context, I would assume it was a cartoon about the founding of the United States.
This is from the cartoon version of Hamilton, right?
That is a founding father in a powdered wig. About to
roofie an indigenous person. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just Lin-Manuel Miranda. We all know that.
Yeah, she did. You know what? Like, why does she look so creepy? Her expressions the whole time are very creepy. And she's not supposed to be creepy by now. Like, this is when they're supposed to be like, oh, wow, you're the sweetest old lady ever. You got this good candy. You got this good soda. But... Mm-hmm. Instead, I guess like the artists were like, what if we made her like creepy as fuck?
And so the Cosby kids love it. They say, we're going to come back. We're going to take care of your whole yard for free this weekend. Very nice thing for them to do. And the lesson is old people are okay. Devery is still hanging around outside. Just that's it. He's just a piece of shit. I just wrote here, fuck you, Devery. You were a piece of shit.
I mean, but then at the end, he gets his ass absolutely beat.
Yes. 100%.
By his dad. Like
his dad shows up, who is a...
and absolutely beats his ass. And the camera pans away from it, but we all know his ass is getting beat.
His dad is Rocky Johnson from 1977. Massive and ripped and huge. And he's just like, we're going home right now. And my only comment is, oh, dad's beating that child tonight.
Oh, yeah. He's going to beat him even before they get home.
Yeah. I mean, this is a time where Bill Cosby's stand-up was filled with jokes about how hilarious it is to get the shit beat out of you by your muscular father.
Yeah, I mean, listen, my parents grew up in Jersey City, and my uncle used to tell me stories about how he would be walking home, and every other house, it was an Italian neighborhood, every other house he would say, you would just hear, you son of a bitch, you son of a boom, and there would be pots, and it would be husbands fighting their wives fighting their husbands, parents fighting their kids.
I think we could all agree that the Italian are a filthy and despicable people.
They just like to fight.
I mean, look, there's a reason those people aren't invited to my club.
your club white boy Michigan club?
Actually, there's a very big Italian-American heritage, like a hall, not very far from my house. So I grew up with a lot of Italian celebrations happening nearby. Yes, deny that. That is such an implausible story, Gina Ippolito, that Italian people lived in Detroit and had a place, a lodge where they could hang out.
Dude who lived in Arkansas, and he said, oh, we've got a great Italian fest. And then I got there, and it was rice noodles and ketchup.
What state again?
Arkansas.
Yeah, that's, thank you. The Hoggly Woggly is the height of cuisine there, so.
You probably don't want to go to Arkansas for culture. I'm just going to say.
Well, now how many states have we offended?
Not enough. Yeah. There are so many bad states out there we haven't even touched on.
Jan, you've only ever lived in California, huh?
How dare you? I've lived in many places. I've lived in Arizona. I've lived in Washington. I've lived in New York for a month, but you know,
that does not count. Yeah. I remember that month, Chan. You did not. Yeah. You were a tourist there for a month. You weren't like living there.
I ate at several bodegas. I pet cats. It was, I consider
that's
it,
delightful.
Established that's residency.
Delightful. I remember that time in the pandemic when y'all were just like, we could just be anywhere we want to be right now. Yeah. Let's just go to New York for a month. And then, you know,
oh, yeah. Be that's there. What you're considering? Yeah, I agree with
that. Yeah, that's not living there.
That was a vacation.
That's a vacation. That's a long vacation during a time of pandemic. And I'll be honest, it was a really good idea. I'm not gonna disrespect you in any way for this. I'm just going to say, don't walk around telling people you lived in New York.
I'm probably gonna do it a little bit though. So
you guys, I stayed at a residence inn in Hoboken, New Jersey once. I basically lived in New Jersey. No, no one's saying that.
Hoboken is very hip and very expensive these days.
What is there to do in Jersey that you couldn't get taken care of in one night at a residence inn?
I mean, again, you're making a very good point. I have no follow-up. I understand.
Your bologna breakfast sandwich in the morning, and then you've got it covered. You've done it all.
You get a hand job from somebody by the pool.
Uh-huh.
And you eat a Fudgy the Whale, and then you go home.
Done.
You basically lived in New Jersey. You don't want to take it back. No. Chan, you could say it. You could say
it. Thank you.
Yeah. I take it all back. It's right.
Are we done now?
That is literally the end of the episode. Like, there is no more that happens. In this episode, we just sort of like, this child is about to be horribly abused by his gigantic muscular father. Ain't that crazy? Good night, everybody.
Good night. I was waiting
for like Bill Cosby to come out and give like an outro or something like that.
Yeah.
It didn't happen.
He was too big a star.
I think it's a net positive for the world that most parents don't beat their children anymore. I'll say it out loud.
I could go either way on it.
I was a little confused by the dynamic of the sister and the brother there, because like she's like blackmailing him the whole time to return, you know, to go back home. And then his thing is like, well, I will go back if you go and trick or treat it. You know, if you do this scary thing, if you go on take this dare, and she does it like.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. If your brother dares you to do something, of course you are saying yes. I don't care what the fuck it is. You're saying yes to that.
Yeah, I don't know. But the part that upset me is that she's like, what, 10 years old? About? Sure. She's just late at night wandering the streets of inner city Philadelphia. This just did not feel safe that she was just hanging around out on the street by herself.
Apparently she was safe.
That's how serial killers happened in the 1970s. That's why we don't really have them anymore.
I guess.
Like they did back then. People used to goddamn hitchhike. People used to just get in the car of strangers and be like, take me out of state. And they wondered why they were being murdered at record numbers.
Record numbers?
Well, what, compared to even- now... Crime is down so much right now.
Yeah. I feel like serial killing wasn't. People were, it was too easy to just like wander around and shiv somebody in the throat. But why even got to bother serial killing, for crying out loud? That's like, that's a lot of work.
Here's the deal. I've just looked it up because I Googled it. The rise of serial killings, because it was not really a thing that happened a lot. It started in the late 1960s. It peaked in the 1980s, where there were a bazillion serial killers. And then when the 90s started, outside of maybe Jeffrey Dahmer, it slowed down. And then in the new millennium, there's just not serial killers anymore.
No, because you know why they did a whole think piece on this, because serial killers who are predominantly white males were then replaced by shooters, basically by mass shooters who are predominantly white males.
Oh, interesting.
So there was a whole article about how, like, yeah, this used to be the thing, the like sort of MO for the serial killer of the 70s and 80s was the same as the MO for mass shooters in the 90s into the 2000s.
I can see a yes and both a yes and a no to that, because there's a big difference between decades of luring people into your van and murdering them and making sure you get away with it, and going into a public place and shooting a bunch of people, knowing you are not getting away from that situation, knowing this is the end of your life. It just feels like two different. I understand what you're saying, though. That's very interesting. I don't know. That's weird. I'm thinking about that.
To add that the reason why serial killer numbers were down before the 70s is because we had no idea how to track that sort of thing.
Okay,
people disappear all the time. You're like, well, yeah, but she was my daughter, and you know, like, I couldn't get a good diary for her anyway, so I'm just not even going to bother to tell the cops. We still got a son that we could, marry off to a good family. People died constantly, and they were just like, eh, whatever, life's cheap.
Is that why they had like 17 kids and counting?
Yeah. Well, you think it's 17. I don't know. It might have been 19. We're keeping track.
Now we're down to 15. Don't even know which four are missing, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Did they leave? Did they grow up and leave? Or did a serial killer get them? I can't be bothered to pay attention.
Where'd that loud one go? Wasn't the third one the loud one? I'm not sure. It was the third or the seventh. Whatever.
I feel like this show just got wildly dark. And it's my fault. I take full responsibility.
Out that way.
How come we always talk about Bill Cosby, but we never talk about Neil deGrasse Tyson?
He's his own worst enemy.
Because, you know, he did the same thing a lot.
I don't think it was the same thing.
He drugged drinks and raped people.
Well, I guess that is a topic for next week's podcast when we do Neil deGrasse Tyson's kids.
We're going to do an episode of, oh God, what's this? Nova. We're going to do an episode of Nova with Neil deGrasse Tyson and talk about all of the terrible things he did to women. Until next week, this is Knowing This Half the Podcast, the place you go for Halloween specials and also, you know, that other stuff.
You'll have some fun now with me and all the gang, learning from each other.
This is Bill Cosby coming at you with music and fun. And if you're not careful, you may learn something before it's done.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win," or, "I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilize the hydraulics." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world, working actors, comedians, writers, stunt people, you get it, and we do it all over breakfast, or should I say, Breakfast. Every week is a new episode of Breakfast, and here's what you get. Inside Hollywood info, like, how cool is it to act with Ed O'Neill? Spoiler alert, it's really cool. And what the heck is a gaffer? You get great Breakfast recs and foodie debates like, when should you go hash browns and when do you go home fries? I know the answer to that. Trust me, my pancake posse, my bacon brigade. Listen up, because Breakfast is the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Breakfast with Brent Pope, available at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.